Don't Depend on Daddy is an unfiltered safe space, empowering young professionals to build independence in their 20s and beyond, whether it be personal, professional, or financial. Regardless of your age, relationship status, or job title, the most consistent person in your life is you. So join me and let's build our independence together. Enjoy. Hello and welcome back to Don't Depend on Daddy, the podcast. My name is Michaela. I am your host and I'm super excited for today's episode because we're going to be talking a little bit about life upgrades. But before we get into the bulk of the show, as usual, we're going to go through all of our usual housekeeping. I'll do my best to keep it as quick as possible. So first things first, if you have not pre-ordered Own Your Career, what the hell are you doing? Reminder, Own Your Career is my brand new book. It's coming out on July 2nd, and it's essentially your blueprint for navigating your career, whether you are corporate or not. So there's tons of stuff in there that will help you if you are in a corporate job, starting a corporate job, a new grad, later in your 20s and you don't know what you want to do with your job, or you hate your job and you want to start a new job. Tons of stuff in there for that. There's also a whole section related to starting a business and having a side hustle and really monetizing that, financially preparing to leave your job, all that kind of stuff, as well as my journey, my story, my perspective, my lessons, everything that I learned from really breaking the corporate blueprint and building my own career ladder, which is the tagline. There's also some young professional career profiles in there. So the purpose of that is, like, when I graduated college, I was not aware of all of the different career paths that were available. And even throughout my 20s, I feel like I've learned about so many different career paths that I could have taken. And so the goal with the young professional career profiles was to highlight a variety of different career paths, just to provide some context, I feel like, for people who maybe don't know what types of jobs even exist out there. And then there's also some tenured professional career profiles, which are like CEOs, executives, and entrepreneurs sharing all of their career lessons and like lessons they would tell their younger selves. So lots of good info in there. If you pre-order Own Your Career, you can join my 3-month long webinar series, Career Intensive Bootcamp. So essentially what that is a 3-part series where I'm going to be teaching you how to audit your career, actually figure out and align what career makes sense for you, and then also potentially start and scale a 6-figure side hustle. So all of the information on joining that, what to expect, is in the show notes at the Own Your Career website, which is breakyourbudget.com/OYC-book. The first webinar actually already happened at the time this is going up. It happened yesterday, April 23rd. So if you'd like to catch that replay, you need to pre-order Own Your Career, which again, you can submit your pre-order information in or on that page. If you scroll to the bottom, everything's there and you'll get everything that you need. So with that, let's move on to our next housekeeping, which is the personal finance dashboard. As always, you can get $10 off the personal finance dashboard if you use the code PODCAST1. That's an evergreen code, only available for people who listen to the podcast. I don't tell anyone about it if they're not listening to the show. And yeah, if you don't have the PFD, you should totally get it. And as always, if you're enjoying the show and you have a kind, polite review to leave, please do so on Apple Podcasts. If you have constructive criticism for me, you can send it to me in an email. If I see that you left a rude comment about me on my Apple Podcast page, I will be publicly shaming you. So don't do that. Now, let's get into the Don't Depend on Daddy moment of the week. My Don't Depend on Daddy moment of the week is actually a little bit different, I feel like, than some of the Don't Depend on Daddy moments from the past. And this is that I actually took my full weekend, so Friday to Sunday night, completely off work and fully enjoyed it. Meaning that I didn't treat my Sunday as like a pseudo work day where I'm like catching up on things and, you know, I don't know, preparing and resetting for the week. I took my full day to actually enjoy my full weekend. And I share this because I feel like so many of us, myself included, will treat Sundays as like not a real weekend day where we're just getting ready for the work week. And I think that's totally fine. But I do think there is an argument for the occasional Sunday where you're not doing that and you're actually taking the full 2 days to enjoy your weekend. It really did fill my cup. I actually entered this week feeling just as refreshed and motivated as I would have otherwise if I had done my full reset. And I don't know, I just think there's, you know, a lot of value in actually enjoying the full weekend. So here's your reminder, maybe next week, take your full Sunday to enjoy, do activities. I slept in, I made my coffee, I went to the farmer's market, I took a tennis lesson, I went on a long walk, I went to Erewhon, I hung out with my friends. Like, take your full Sunday and enjoy it. And you can always catch up on all of your chores on like Monday, okay? You're still gonna be fine. So that's my Don't Depend on Daddy moment of the week. And with that, let's get into the bulk of today's episode, which, as I mentioned, I am gonna be breaking down the key areas of my life that I have decided to begin upgrading, I would say, over the last like year and a half. I'd say this really started in 2023. So as I've reached my late 20s, I am 28, turning 29 in July, which I'm stressed about, but such is life, right? Everybody says turning 29 is a lot scarier than turning 30, and I'm kind of feeling that. Like, I don't fear my 30s, but I fear this like weird pressure bubble that comes along with being in my late 20s, if that makes sense. And as I've gotten older, I guess, I have become much more aware of the passage of time and like really truly enjoying my life as it is right now, which if you listen to the podcast, I feel like you've probably noticed that being a theme in a lot of the things that I've been talking about. And I also think that what everybody says is true, that as you get into your late 20s, in your early 30s, your life actually gets better and better because you know yourself more and you also have a little bit more money generally to like do things and enjoy everything that you have going on. Whereas at least in my early 20s, I didn't feel like I had any money to do anything. And I was kind of like, how do people afford doing life? Because I just feel so completely overwhelmed with the cost of everything. And I couldn't imagine a scenario where like spending $50 didn't give me anxiety because I was just so stressed. I also wasn't making a lot of money. I was making like $60,000, which at the time where I lived was fine. In today's world, I feel like that's not enough. So like, I don't know, just a very different mindset. And sort of what I've learned now that I'm kind of, I won't say I've come out on the other side quite yet, but I definitely have a different perspective. There is so much pressure on young adults to figure everything out as soon as possible. It almost feels like a race. And I genuinely think that this is the reason why so many young adults, young professionals, people in their 20s are depressed and burnt out. It takes time to build a life. And if you don't have everything figured out by the time you're 25, you're literally going to be fine. And we need to start talking about it because it makes me so upset that I spent so much of my early 20s stressed about the fact that I was going to be turning 25 or turning 26 and I didn't have all of this money to have everything, okay? It takes time to figure it out. It takes time to build up your financial foundation. It takes time to get comfortable with increasing your expenses in any regard. It takes time to build a career where you're making enough money to even increase your expenses. And there really is no rush. Like, you turn 25, right? And you're like, oh my God, I'm 25. My life is flying by. When you're 25, you've only been an adult for like 2 or 3 years, 3 years maybe. Honestly, like those first 2 years out of college, I don't really think they count because you don't know what the hell's going on at all. Like, I don't know anyone who's 2 years out of college who has any idea what they're doing. You're just floundering. You're figuring out how to be an adult. 25 is sort of that precipice point where it's like, okay, I'm a few years into my career. I've got an idea of how the world works. Like, now go time starts. But at 25, like, you still have 5 full years of your 20s to figure things out, which is a lot of time. So I guess I share all of this because I really want to highlight how important it is to enjoy the process of building up your finances, enjoy the process of building your life in your 20s, and be fine with not having the nicest version of everything when you're 22, just because you see other people on TikTok or Instagram having the most beautiful aesthetic apartments. It's fine if you live in a dingy apartment with 3 roommates. I did it. I did it for 3 years. It wasn't my favorite time of my life, but it was an incredibly integral time in my life in order to build up my finances. You have to make sacrifices. Your hard work will pay off if you're doing the right thing. So that's making sacrifices, focusing on your income, keeping your expenses as low as possible. And the days will come. That period of time in your life will come where you finally feel okay. I won't ever promise or guarantee anyone will ever feel financially secure and confident, because even as I've created more income for myself and built up my net worth all throughout my 20s, there's no magic number where all of a sudden you feel good. It's like, okay, you hit a milestone and then the goalpost changes. And it's like, okay, well, what's the next milestone? And that's why I say, I don't think there's a number to aim for, because you'll hit that number and it's not going to solve all of your problems. But there are things you can do, which we'll talk about, where you'll start to really reap the rewards and see the benefits of all of the hard work that you've put in. So I'm going to start this episode, I guess. I mean, we're already, 10 minutes into this episode, but I'm going to start the process here with a quick overview of how much money I've spent over the last 3 years, and you'll see a much more dramatic change that happened in 2023. So I religiously track my expenses using the personal finance dashboard. That is not new news, but if you are new here, the personal finance dashboard is my signature financial planning tool. So I built it in 2020 and I've used it ever since, because I wanted to have a tool that was comprehensive, that gave me the insights that would actually help me make data-driven financial decisions. I single-handedly attribute the personal finance dashboard and the routines that it has allowed me to create to being the catalyst for my financial success, or being able to save and invest as much money as I have. Obviously, there are other things that have impacted that, like starting a business, having a corporate job for a long time, but the personal finance dashboard is that guiding light, okay? So here's the breakdown. In 2021, I spent $52,419, which was pretty good because my income at that time at my corporate job was $90,000 or $85,000, but I got a 10% bonus. And I also made $100,000 that year from my Break Your Budget. So that year, I think I spent 25% of my total income, a little bit more. 2022, I spent just about the same, $50,797. This was my first full year in California. I also think in 2021, that number was a little bit higher because I moved. So I had moving expenses mixed into there. And then 2023, that number went from $50,000 to $66,000. So 2021, 2022, I held pretty steady in that 50K range. And this was just after the peak of the pandemic, right? So I moved to LA, started having a life again. I was in my frugal era though, still. I would say that during those periods of time, I was still constantly looking for ways to cut corners, spend as little as possible. I hadn't fully, I'll say, broken free from the mental game of personal finances. And I was navigating re-entering adulthood after spending 18 months living at home, where if you live at home with your parents as an adult, you regress, whether you want to or not, or want to recognize it or not. It's a weird experience. A good experience in so many ways, but also a weird experience. My monthly spending average for those 2 years was $4,100 to $4,500 a month, which I think is pretty normal, okay? My rent was $1,650. I think I was spending $1,000 on non-essential stuff, and then the rest of it was essential whatever. In 2023, my expenses obviously made a very clear and steep increase up to $66,000. That's a $16,000 increase, which brought my monthly spending average to around $5,500, which is $1,000 more. I would say still holding to this day, 2024, my monthly spending average is around $5,500, which compared to my income is perfectly fine. There are a few key drivers of this, which mostly are some life upgrades that I decided to make as a result of not only making a little bit more money, from my business, but also because I was just ready at this point. So last year, I would say, is kind of, again, where the catalyst started to happen. I was ready to start saying yes and finally enjoy my life after so many years of not letting myself enjoy my life. So here's a quick summary of some of the areas that I upgraded. First is my apartment and my living space, which you probably know, but again, if you're new here, I moved into my own apartment in 2023. And by my own apartment, I mean I live alone instead of having a roommate in 2023. So my rent went up. I've started to invest a little bit more in my appearance, which if you're watching video, you probably can't tell because I'm not dressed and I don't have any makeup on. But, just in general, we'll talk about it. And then traveling and leaning into my hobbies is another area that I've started to upgrade. I'm going to be honest, when I was thinking about and brainstorming this podcast, it was hard for me to think about anything else that I've upgraded because I say this sincerely, like when I am spending more money or there is a material increase in my expenses or my monthly outflow, I am thinking about it for quite some time before I actually pull the trigger and do it. So I'm not willy-nilly upgrading my life just because I've started to make a little bit more money just because my income has increased. I'm being really, really, really critical. Is this going to add value to my life? Is this going to change how I show up in my life for the better? Yes or no? So these are the three, really the only three areas of my life that I've started to change or really started to spend and invest a little bit more money into. I do also want to take a moment to touch on lifestyle creep before we get into these. So lifestyle creep is the gradual increase in spending as a person's income rises. It's a phenomenon where as individuals earn more money, they tend to spend more money on non-essential items, or they begin to upgrade their standard of living, usually without a corresponding increase in savings or investments. So this can lead to a situation where even though you're earning more, you find yourself living paycheck to paycheck, or maybe you're even incurring debt when you weren't in the past. Because honestly, it doesn't matter if you're making more money, if you are spending more money in an equal proportion or greater proportion than that increase in income. I want to be clear though, lifestyle creep is something that you need to be hyper aware of in your 20s. But it's not always a bad thing. And it's super normal to want to increase your expenses as you make more money. You just have to do so with diligence and care. So I'm going to use an example because any financial decision you make needs to be put into the context of your broader plans, budgets, and goals. And so this example really highlights a scenario where that maybe didn't happen. So I saw a video of a girl on TikTok. I actually made a video about it where I stitched her. And she talked about how she got a raise at work. And so she moved into a new apartment because she could make the new rent payment. And it wasn't until she was living in that apartment where she realized, oh my gosh, I can make this payment, but I cannot do anything else because my payment is basically all of my income and all of the things that I used to do, like go out to dinner and enjoy my life and maybe have a hobby or two, I can't do anymore because the amount of money that I'm paying in rent is more, or that difference in what she was paying in rent before versus what she's paying now is more than that increase that she made from getting this raise at work. What didn't happen when she made this decision was she did not put the increase, the lifestyle increase, into the context of her budget, of her financial plan, of her spending, and of her goals. The point I'm trying to make here is that making more money is not a blanket excuse to just go spend more money. You need to look at it from every angle. So how does this impact my spending? How will this impact my ability to contribute to my goals? How does this expense fit within the context of my budget? If you don't put it in the context of what your situation is, you're not properly evaluating if the financial decision makes sense for you. And this really does apply to, like, obviously big material financial decisions. So like getting an apartment or getting a new apartment, getting a new car, purchasing a home, especially purchasing a home. Oh my gosh. But this also applies to just purchases in general. So it doesn't necessarily have to be related to your living situation. All this to say, I want to emphasize that the upgrades that I've made in my life that I'm going to be talking about have all been done over, you know, a longer period of time, so over a year, and they've been calculated, and they've all been made within the context of my plan. So just make sure if you are going to upgrade areas of your life, you put it into context so that you're not accidentally making a really tragic financial mistake. So let's get into it. First, number one is upgrading my living space. Duh. I feel like this is sort of the goal that everybody has when they get into their later 20s, is like if they're not living with a boyfriend or a partner, they want to live alone because having roommates kind of sucks unless you have a really great roommate. The main driver behind the huge spike in my expenses between 2022 and 2023 was my living situation, because in March of 2023, I moved into my own apartment where I'm living by myself. So basically starting March 2023, my living expenses went from $1,625 per month with my roommate to $2,700 per month living alone, and my rent is going up another $100 starting in June. So on top of that, I also had to buy furniture because the only furniture that I had when I moved into this apartment was like a bed and a dresser. I didn't have a couch. I didn't have a table. I didn't have chairs. Like, I didn't really have anything. And I had to outfit my entire apartment. And that's really expensive, especially too because there are little things in your apartment that you use that you don't even think about. So like silverware, dishes. I didn't have any of that because when I moved into my apartment prior, my roommate had already got all of that stuff. Like, she was coming from a different apartment. She already had it. So when I moved in, outside of paying my security deposit and whatnot, all I really had, or all I had to buy, was my bed and my dresser. So my expenses when I moved at that period of time were pretty minimal, but it did hurt me a little bit when I moved into this new apartment because the expense to furnish it was quite high. Was that decision worth it? 110%, because investing in my living space, in my apartment, and just like having a space that I can call my own, not having to worry about a roommate, or like something that I've learned about having roommates is that because you're at home, like people bring their problems home, right? So I never really had any major issues with my roommate. I didn't have any major issues with my roommate in California, but like when you have turmoil going on in your life, like you bring it home and then you have a roommate and you're talking about it, and that sort of like, it's not so much that I had to deal with it, but it just creates like another layer of things that I am thinking about, worrying about, like that mental energy is going there. And I have learned from living alone that like my mental peace and just like protecting my peace is worth whatever it costs at this phase in my life. I think for the times that I did have roommates, it was really important from a social standpoint, from saving money. Like when I first moved here too, having a roommate was really helpful for making friends and like having somebody there. But once I got settled in LA a little bit, like I kind of came to the conclusion, okay, I don't necessarily need this. I mean, living alone has presented its own set of challenges. Like, I spend so much time by myself. I did a whole episode about that. It's called How to Be Alone Without Being Lonely. And I've really had to learn how to become my own best friend out of necessity because I work alone. I live alone. I do most things by myself. I don't have a boyfriend yet. Big yet there. And I don't know. I love living alone. I've loved being able to buy furniture that I really like. I think that was another challenge that I learned about myself, like living with other people. And then I lived at home for a period of time, is I always felt like I just didn't have a place to go, if that makes sense. Like, there was no space that I lived in that truly felt like it was mine. Because in my first apartment, I had a roommate. She was actually, I think, one of the worst roommate, if not the worst roommate I ever had. And that apartment was also like so small. So we didn't really have like real furniture. My room was really small. It was basically like a glorified closet. So it was just like, that was a tough living situation. And then when I moved into my second apartment where there was four of us, a lot of the furniture in that apartment outside of like our bedrooms and stuff, so like shared space furniture, stuff in the kitchen, was all stuff that had been there. Because since there were four rooms, it was kind of like, oh, one person's moving out, another person's filling that room. And I don't know, there was a lot of like, some people stayed, some people left. So over time, oh, this person bought the couch, but they're leaving it here. They're taking this. This person's moving in. They're bringing this. Like, it was just sort of a melange of furniture and whatnot. So like, obviously none of that belonged to me. And I didn't really feel like any of it felt homey or anything. Then I moved home, so like that's my parents' house. I don't have any say in what it looks like. And then I moved into my apartment, my first apartment in LA, and my roommate was like really, she wanted to decorate. And I was kind of like, do whatever you want. She had a cat, like I'm not going to buy furniture when there's a pet around. Like, I don't know. So moving here, it's been fun to actually like sort of see my own style come to life. Is it perfect? No. But the furniture that I have bought so far, I really, really like, and I'm excited to take it with me to future apartments, potentially a future home. I don't know what that looks like. So yeah. Your environment is, I think, so important, especially if you work from home. I did find that moving into my own apartment has helped a lot with just mental clarity for my business and being able to have free range for content and building my business. I don't have to worry about keeping the privacy of someone else or like somebody else being here when I need to do things. And looking back, I feel like a lot of the instability that I felt throughout my 20s was driven by the fact that I felt unstable in my living situation. So your living situation really does have a huge impact on how you feel. And if you've sort of reached this phase in your later 20s and maybe you're thinking about living alone and you've thought about the cost and you've put it into context of your budget and you're ready to do it, it really has been such a great experience for me. And I think waiting until my later 20s has made me appreciate the experience so much more, because I have the perspective of what it was like to not live alone. And now I can really be grateful for the fact that like, this is my space that I've worked really hard to be able to afford and to be able to create. And like, I just love it. So that is number one, my living space and like the ancillary furniture that I've purchased and have alongside in here. Number two is my appearance. And so when I say my appearance, I mean just like how I present outwardly. So my clothes, investing in my skincare, all this kind of stuff. I never necessarily used to value a lot how I looked or how I dressed. And when I say value, like I don't mean that I didn't care about it, because obviously I cared about the way that I looked and I wanted to look nice, but I wasn't willing to invest any money into it. So I will say too, I did get a nose job, which I've talked about a little bit around town. That was about $9,000. That was $9,000 all in. That was an investment in my appearance, but that was also an investment in like my self-esteem, because that was something that bothered me my entire life. I didn't actually include it as part of this, but now that I'm speaking, like that is something that I invested money in. And I did that when I was 24. So like, that's not a late 20s investment, but that happened. If you ever have questions about that, you can send me an email, because I feel very, very passionately if you are someone who's considered getting any sort of facial plastic surgery and it's like an insecurity you've had your whole life, if I could have done it 10 years sooner, I would have. Like, it literally changed my life. Anyways, back to like the original theme here is like, I would buy really cheap clothes and I didn't really take any time to learn about or think about my own personal style. So like, I look back on pictures of myself and I was like, what the fuck was I wearing? Why did I look like that? And then I compare, which you really shouldn't do, but I compare what I looked like when I was 23 and 24 to like what people now look like at 23 and 24. And it's just like night and day. I think a big catalyst there is social media. Like if I had social media when I was 23, more so than just casual Instagram, like Instagram still wasn't what it was when I was 23 as it is now. But if I had social media, I think I would have looked, social media how it is today, I would have looked very different or maybe cared about my appearance a little bit more. But I just didn't really have any interest in it. I had like my corporate clothes that I wore to work. And then outside of that, I had a few pairs of jeans and like that was kind of it. Like I wasn't thinking about it. And on top of that, I didn't even bother to look at material or look at quality or think about usability. I was just looking at how much they cost. And I had no interest beyond just my clothes in spending money on makeup or on skincare. And I stopped coloring my hair for a while. And I look back on pictures then and I'm like, oh my God, my hair looked so bad. Not that you have to color your hair, but like my natural hair color as my full head of hair, like I just looked really dull. Like I get color in my hair twice a year, like very natural color. I'm naturally blonde. So I do a balayage essentially just to brighten it up a little bit. And I do really think it makes a big difference in the way that I look. And I would go beyond just not coloring my hair. Like I would get my haircuts at Supercuts. So like I wasn't even getting a good haircut. Like I just looked bad. And all of this is fine. Like you don't have to color your hair to look nice. You don't have to get expensive haircuts to look nice, but it wasn't working for me. And I don't really feel like I ever felt good about myself. Honestly, I never felt good about myself till I got my nose done. So I'm gonna be transparent about that. But on top of the fact that like, I also wasn't taking care of the other aspects of my appearance that I had control over prior to that. Moving to LA did make me more aware of my appearance. And sure, that can sound vain. That's very typical of moving to LA, but that's the truth. That, combined with seeing myself on camera all the time by nature of what I was doing for work, like with Break Your Budget and really picking up Break Your Budget and stuff and being criticized by people on TikTok saying that I look old or that I look bad or whatever, like I don't look my age. I mean, they still say that. I think a big reason for that is because people on social media like don't understand what people actually look like. They think everything's filtered. So I don't think I look older than 28 or 29. Like I feel like I look like I'm in my late 20s, but that's subjective. If you have something rude to say, again, get the fuck off my podcast. Like that's it. We're not even gonna go there. But LA made me feel more aware of the way that I looked. And that combined with the video, I was kind of like, okay, I really need to glow up a little bit. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with wanting to spend money on feeling good about the way that you look. I think that's a really important point that I want to drive home. I don't think there's an issue with investing in your skincare, investing in having nice clothes, investing in nice haircuts or nice hair color if that's going to make you feel good and if you're doing it for the right reasons. I never did any of, I mean, I haven't done any like Botox or anything. And I don't think that I do anything crazy to like keep up with my appearance. Like I'm just talking about day-to-day personal stuff that I didn't used to do that I do now. I think that doing this will actually have a big impact and has had a big impact on how I show up as myself in the world. So a few things that I spend a little bit more money on. First being my wardrobe. So even in the sweatpants and sweats that I wear at home, like I'm wearing an Aritzia sweatsuit. This is a nice sweatsuit. I feel like it looks nice. It fits me well. The cut is nice. It's comfortable. Like I invested in the clothes that I wear. This is an ongoing process because it's not like one day I was like, oh, I'm going to throw away my entire closet and buy all new stuff. It's sort of been as I find there are gaps in my closet to fill or maybe something is starting to look a little worn down, I'm beginning to make those slow changes and replace them with nicer things. So part of that is my capsule wardrobe. I have a whole episode on that too. And then through that process, I feel like I've really learned more about my personal style. So I know the kinds of things that I'm reaching for. I know what will fit in my closet and I'm more comfortable spending a little bit more money on a nicer piece because I'm more comfortable in like the direction I want my closet to move in, if that makes sense. So that's one area of my appearance that I've started to upgrade. The other is like I'm spending a little bit more money on beauty skincare. So this includes money on makeup, which I don't really have a ton of makeup because I don't go anywhere usually during the week. I'm not wearing a ton of makeup. So I'm not ever putting on a full beat. Like I don't even own foundation. I don't see that being something that I buy. I just wear a tinted moisturizer if I'm putting makeup and stuff on. But the tinted moisturizer I wear is from Bare Minerals. So it's like kind of nice. Same with any other makeup products that I've been buying. I feel like I've been leaning more towards the higher quality Sephora brands. Not to say that they're better, but just like because I'm buying less frequently, like I do feel like I can buy the nicer version of something. And then skincare obviously is a big one. So I've invested a lot of money in my skincare over the last year. My skin isn't perfect. It's never going to be perfect, but it definitely looks significantly better than it used to. So ways I've done that is I got that Omnilux LED mask, which I really do love. I think it works very well. I have a code. It's BreakYourBudget10. If you want to get it, the link is in my link on my links page, which is in the show notes. And then, you know, skincare and stuff. So that's like all my Paula's Choice stuff. I finally got onto the Paula's Choice PR list, which I'm psyched about. And some Summer Friday stuff. Like I've just been more willing to spend money on skincare so that my skin looks nice instead of just defaulting to stuff from the drugstore that maybe wasn't working for my skin. Beyond that too, you know, now I'm doing regular haircuts and color. So like I mentioned, I get my hair colored twice a year. I get my hair cut generally 3 times a year. And I just feel a lot better about the way that I look. I feel like if there's something that I don't like, I know what to do to fix it. And I'm willing to spend the money to address the situation so that I feel good about myself. I'm not doing anything because I'm concerned about what other people think about me necessarily. And I'm not also not saying that like you have to do any of this if you don't want to. But for me, investing in my wardrobe, investing in like my personal hygiene and just like the way that I present myself outwardly has made me feel a lot better. And while I think some people would interpret like LA being the catalyst for that or like being on camera the catalyst for that as being vain or negative, like I actually think it's been a very positive experience for me overall, and I want to be confident in how I show up. So yeah, that's number two. It's okay to invest in how you look, and if you feel good, you look good, and you just show up better, in my opinion. Okay, moving into the last one here, number three, hobbies and travel. So these are two bigger areas of my life that I feel like even 2024 has kind of been the beginning catalyst for spending a little bit more money here. Up until last year, I never, ever allowed myself to spend money on my hobbies. Like, and I'm not even saying that to be dramatic for the sake of the episode. Like, I literally never spent money on any of my hobbies. It was, to me, it was unnecessary, and I could do things for free. I skied a little bit, I'll say, like once a year. But outside of that, I was really trying to keep my expenses as trim as I possibly could. So any hobby that I did had was really, that I did have was very low cost. So that was like walking, hiking, Pilates at home. And that's honestly really it, cooking. But I wasn't willing to try new recipes because I didn't want to spend more money on my groceries every month. So like, I wasn't doing a lot. I don't really think I was interesting, but I was building breaker budget. So that was kind of like my hobby. Now, I have found a lot of value, as I've mentioned. I will likely do a whole hobby episode, but I've found a lot of value in spending some more money and some more time and energy, honestly, in the area of hobbies to really develop a personality. Like, I think that if you don't have hobbies, it's harder to develop a really interesting personality. That's not to say that if you don't have a hobby, like, you don't have a personality that's cool, but just like the people that I know that have hobbies, I feel like they just have more to talk about. They bring a little bit more to the table, and that should encourage you. It shouldn't make you feel bad about yourself. Like having a hobby, I mean, it doesn't have to be expensive, but having a hobby develops character. I really think it's important, no matter what your relationship stage is, no matter what your job is, whatever, to have something that you do outside of work, alone, or with a partner or a friend. So a few of the hobbies now that I spend more money on, first being Pilates. So as of June last year, I started going to Pilates classes. I never, ever, 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 ever used to allow myself to go to Pilates classes because in my mind, joining a Pilates studio was too expensive and doing a drop-in class isn't worth it. I still think doing drop-in classes are too expensive. Like that's not something I would do. But I got class pass, and so that to me is like I'm able to do my Pilates classes for less, and I'm only paying for the classes that I actually go to, obviously. So like I pay $150 a month for my class pass. That gets me about 9 or 10 classes via class pass, which is plenty every single month. I don't need to be doing more than that, and honestly, like I struggle to get to 10. But I really, really love going to Reformer Pilates. That's been a really worthwhile investment for me. Another investment for me is tennis lessons. I'm really into tennis lately, and I'm excited to invest more money into tennis lessons so that it can become a fun recreational hobby for me. I think that tennis is a great social hobby. It's great, you know, based off of where I live, obviously, because it's a very social thing. I can play tennis all year round here. And I really, really like it. It's been a fun way for me to meet new people and just like have more things to do outside of work. And then on top of that, I've also invested a lot into my kitchen area, my appliances, because cooking is a big hobby of mine. I've been enjoying trying new recipes, spending a little bit more money on my groceries, and just like learning how to cook and learning how to do that. And just sort of enter that more homemaking era of my life, which I've talked about as well on prior episodes. So these hobbies, in my opinion, have made me a lot happier with myself. So hobbies, my appearance, like I've gone through a total glow up in my late 20s, and I really do think they're essential. Beyond just like these hobbies I've mentioned, I also travel a little bit more than I used to. So in my early 20s, I didn't do any travel really. I just didn't think it was worth it. I didn't want to pay for flights. I didn't want to pay for hotels and stuff. And I didn't really have anybody to go with. And I'm not a solo traveler. That's not something I have any interest in doing. Later in my 20s, so as of late, I've been going on some more trips. So mostly ski trips, and I've allowed myself to spend the money to go on them, and like they just cost what they cost. So when I go on the trips, I spend what it costs for me to be there. I'm not worried about it. I save up that money in advance, and it just makes the whole experience so much more enjoyable. So the trips too are another area that I've sort of begun to upgrade, indulge in, I guess. I don't have too much travel planned for the rest of the year besides going home, but I did do a lot of skiing at the beginning of this year. I went on 4 ski trips. It was really fun, and I'm so glad that I spent that money, honestly, because I had a really great time. So with that, I am going to wrap up this episode. All of this to say, money doesn't buy happiness, and it never will. So don't ever think that money is going to solve all of your problems, because it won't, but it does help. Okay. Having money allows you to enjoy your life a little bit more. It's a tool. It can improve your life if you're willing to spend it strategically. Because I've spent money on some of these other areas, there are things that I don't spend money on, which is probably a whole other episode, which I did do an episode on things I don't spend money on. So you should go listen to that. But it took me a long time to reach a point where I had not only the funds, but the mindset to be willing to invest some money into these areas of my life to actually move the needle forward and improve how I feel about myself, how I feel about my life, how I feel about the trajectory of my life and all the things. I would love to hear an area of your life that you've upgraded as you've gotten older, or that you want to upgrade when you get older or when you have the money to do so. So send me a message and let me know. And with that, I will catch you in the next one.